give me $2 million to go away and and I'm okay.
Well, that's because you're not a beautiful blonde from Norway. You know? But $500 million, you know, makes you think, wow, what a payday. And climate change is a very, very serious subject.
Yeah.
But you got to keep your hands off my beer and my vodka. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. I am T-Fab-P, the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
Are you in the box tonight, Max?
I forgot to be in the box. I've got to come up with a different distance.
All right. So you're Max not in the box tonight, and this is Countless Screaming Argonauts, the podcast of record. We are proceeding through episode 116 tonight.
We're doing 116?
116 tonight.
Oh, I thought we were doing a chronicle.
No. We're going for it, baby.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're going for it. It's episode 116, and today is Wednesday, December 9th.
Okay.
All right. So today in Massachusetts, it was a Las Cruces Day.
No kidding.
Yeah. What I mean by that, it's a day when I just realized how much I hate the weather here in Massachusetts.
Oh, it's a Las Cruces Day.
Yeah. They told us it was going to be light snow from about 5 a.m., till about mid-morning, and then it was going to turn to rain and wash it all away. I woke up at 6 a.m. to about 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And it was snowing like it was Colorado Rockies. And
big, heavy flakes.
At 8 inches of snow we got, and then it turned to rain, and it didn't wash it away. It just slushed it up. And now it's going to be 30 degrees tonight. It's all going to freeze rock hard. It's going to be like driving. You know, there's no way to describe it. Meanwhile, Las Cruces, 70 and sunny today, 70 and sunny yesterday, 70 and sunny tomorrow.
You know, Brian tells me that it's always between 72 and 82 degrees in Hawaii.
I tell you, that could be, if Las Cruces doesn't work out, that may be where I'm headed.
Well,
but I hate it.
I love the Northeast up until about the 1st of December.
Yep.
And I start loving it again right around the beginning of baseball season?
Sure, absolutely. That's what I wrote on my Twitter today. Baseball pitches and catches report 72 days.
And that's
okay. It's the only thing that's going to get me through. It's the only thing that's going to get me through this winter.
Yeah, it's well, think about Las Cruces.
There we go. All right, listen, here we go. You ready for this?
I am ready.
We are the podcast of lists.
We are.
So you know that right now that there's a lot of talk over I'm not exactly sure what Scandinavian country they're having those meetings about climate control and climate problems and stuff.
Well, it's the same place where you get the Nobel Prize, which is Sweden?
Sweden. Okay. I believe you.
You know, I'm not sure. But
okay.
The point's
taken. Well, we'll say Sweden. For lack of a better place, we'll say to Sweden.
Say to Sweden.
Right.
For lack of knowing what we'll talk about, we'll go on anyway.
We're going to call it Sweden.
All right.
Well, with all this talk about the climate problems, I came across this list of, and we love the lists.
We love the lists.
This list of what they expect to be the top 10 exports / products that are most affected or affected the quickest by climate change. And I was fascinated by the article because a couple of them are, you smack your forehead. Of course, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But some of the other ones are just really, really interesting. So I thought I'd just kind of go through the list real quick.
Okay.
List so the first one was Malayan cotton.
Okay? Malayan cotton.
Right. They've already had a drop of 25% of production over the last 50 years, and this West African country now only gets about 3 months of rain rather than the 7 months that they used to get, and so they are figuring that before the end of the next decade, there won't be any cotton for them to export, and that their whole economy is based on exported cotton. So that was number 10. Number 9 was the Colorado Ski Resorts, and this one was surprising. They generate over $2 billion in revenue a year. But at the current rate, they say that they expect that within the next couple of decades, snow season will shrink by a month.
Well, Glacier National Park is running out of glaciers, so that makes sense.
What are they going to call it? Puddles? Puddles National Park.
They're going to call it No Glacier National Park.
No Glacier National Park, I guess.
Big rock in the middle of the country National Park.
But now here's the next couple really got me.
Okay.
Where it hurts. Northern European vodka. Okay, global vodka market's $12 billion.
Yeah.
With rising temperatures, places like Poland, where they grow the potatoes and the wheat that are necessary.
Got to have spuds, yeah.
They're having all kinds of trouble, and they said that already you're going to see rises in the cost of vodka.
Well, you know, switch to scotch.
See, that's the problem. First thing I thought was, well, we'll just switch to beer.
Yeah.
Well, that's a problem because German beer is having problems too. They've already had drops in production because of climate problems.
Don't get me toward tequila.
Barley, hops, and all those things are not, they're, even though they're less expensive, you know, to use corn and stuff, even those are getting harder and harder to get. And so I said, well, screw that. We'll just drink wine. French wine is number two on the list.
Yeah.
French wines are known for that whole climate thing where it has to be exactly where it is in order to get that particular kind of grape.
Yeah, yeah.
And those climates are changing, and they ended up, they're finding that their fruits are developing acidic tastes, and they're fighting it, but, you know, basically they say warmer weather produces too much sugar, and it leaves a jammy taste.
Well, they can always go out to California.
I would expect that California would have the same sort of problem. But
they have more fruits.
I guess. I got you. I got it the first time.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't going to push it any farther.
The number one on the list was Italian pasta. The scientists at the British Meteorological Office think that Italy may soon be forced to import the basic ingredients because the climate change there is making it almost impossible to grow durum wheat.
Mm.
Rising temperatures, decreasing rainfall.
They don't grow their own wheat in Italy?
They do, but they're not going to be able to anymore. Because of the temperature changes.
Yeah. So they're going to have to import. Okay.
They're going to have to import it. And then, I mean, it listed other food products, a lot of them. Argentinian honey, Vietnamese rice. The rice market in Vietnam is, they're having trouble.
Maybe, because, I mean, rice is grown in lowland paddies where there's too much water. You would think that rice might be the one crop that would survive.
Well, what's happening is that the rising sea level is submerging cropland.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you need to have some water. You don't need to have a tsunami of water.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Well, you're talking about global starvation here. Forget vodka.
Well, yeah. No, I can't forget vodka. What do you mean? The other interesting one was Spanish fruits and vegetables. And I didn't realize this, but a significant part of our imports during the winter of fruits and vegetables come from South America and from Spain.
Sure.
And they're already having trouble. They've started a European Commission for research that's looking at temperatures and other problems.
Yeah, and you know, there is a growing group of people. I think we talked about this already. That don't believe that the climate is getting warmer. And
right?
There was some climate center that had their emails hacked. And some of the emails rather casually referred to things that sounded like fudging the numbers. And I saw a guy from that institute talking about it, the UCR or the RCU or something. I'm not sure what it was.
Right.
But he said, like, he used the word trick. And he said he was referring to combining this set of numbers with that set of numbers to make a more developed way of looking at things. But when you see the word trick in an email from a scientist,
you wonder.
Yeah, but there's no doubt that in the last, I think it's 150 years, average temperature of the Earth has gone up a degree and a half.
Right.
Basically, a degree a century.
I know that I understand that global warming and climate change is a very, very serious subject.
Yeah.
But you got to keep your hands off my beer and my vodka.
Well,
I mean, like, you just gotta.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him do that.
So do you have a mediation and amelioration to fix this?
Well, I don't. I personally don't.
You're just going to hoard your own vodka.
I've already started. I've already got the cases lined up in the basement.
Well,
I'm
you know.
My own beer, and I'm and I'm storing my own vodka. Because that stuff's going to be worth a lot of money someday.
It will. It will. You know, I was listening to Jerry Pornell on This Week in Tech the other day, and he was talking about, or they were talking about his book Lucifer's Hammer, which is what happens after the next apocalypse. And it's a great book, and you should read it. But basically his point is that you need to have something, and he was generally talking about skills, that people want in order to survive when society has broken down.
Right.
But I think if you have
a big enough... So I can stand there. What you're saying is I can stand at the bottom of my driveway and I can yell, I make beer! And people will respect me because of that.
Well, that'll keep you alive, yes.
Holy mackerel.
I am the beer maker.
Who'd have thunk that would have done it?
But...
I'm going to have to change my name from T-Fab P to T-Fab Brewer.
Well... And the storehouse of vodka is a good thing, too. The only thing is, there will be bad people also, and you're going to have to defend it.
Uh-huh.
Or if you've got somebody, if you know somebody with lots of guns, you can say, I'll make you a deal.
Make you a deal. I'll trade you vodka for guns.
Exactly. You know, that
sounds like a good police program, you know? Bring in your handguns and we'll give you vodka.
Vodka for guns. It sounds like a radio show. We should do a podcast. Vodka for guns.
Vodka for guns. Look at that. All right. Next topic?
Next topic.
Next topic. I have to tell you that this is a political issue.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up because I'm absolutely hysterical about it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm reading a blog.
Yeah.
And the guy goes into talking about teabagging.
Yeah.
And
we all know about teabagging.
He says that Jay Nordlinger.
I've heard the name.
And he writes for the National Review.
Mm-hmm.
Had just written an article. And basically he says that we need to treat the word teabagging like an epithet.
Yeah.
Like the N-word.
Well, I think that's happening.
Well, I think you're right. I think it is. But he goes on to give quite a funny look at how the word developed. And, of course, I had to read the guy's article, of course.
Yeah.
And basically he blames the whole thing on the liberals.
Well.
As you would expect.
But Olbermann sort of takes credit for the word teabag.
Absolutely. But he and several others, Bill Maher included, Anderson
ran with it
too, have all said – you know, we only started using it after they called themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and the funniest line of the whole thing was he took a quote from Bill Maher's HBO show, and I have to read it to you. This is the one, when I read this one, I lost it. People were wondering why I was hysterical in my office. This is Bill Maher's comment about it.
Yeah.
He said, when the year started, teabagging was a phrase that referred to dangling one's testicles in someone else's face.
Right.
And the Tea Party protesters have managed to turn it into something gross and ridiculous.
That's right.
I loved it. I thought
it was
absolutely wonderful.
Not to promote another podcast, but Bill Maher's real-time show is podcasted. I don't get HBO.
Oh, okay. So you can get it on as a podcast.
Right. I'd already heard that joke. I have a few sort of first level podcasts that I have to listen to.
Right.
QN, Total Talk Nonsense, Air Out My Shorts, and Bill Maher's Real Time. You know, whenever I go out to Massachusetts and I load up on podcasts, those are at the top of my list.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always looking forward to the next. And he's taking a break. He's off till like February, which kills me because his show is so damn funny.
Well, it's like John and Scott. They took off 4 months. You were beside yourself.
I was, and both of us were pissed off. And they skipped this last week.
Wow, already.
I may have to call them back or send another message and, you know, tell them they're assholes for not doing Total Talk Nonsense. John and Scott, Satan and Alfie, get back on the airwaves.
God damn it.
God damn it. You got to hear Alfie sometime.
I will have to. I'll listen for that.
I'll tell him that. And it's Christmas time. They usually bring Alfie in at Christmas time. So.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to.
All right. Well, anyway, this guy in his article in the National Review says he ends the article by saying that it's probably too late to purge the term teabagger.
I think we should
certainly
push
from discourse controlled by liberals. He says
yes.
But he lets you give it a try.
Don't you like to hear little old ladies talking about teabagging?
I think it's great.
Yeah.
When they show that picture of the woman with the teabags hanging from her hat, and she says, "I'm a teabagger." I mean, what could be better?
It's the perfect visual. Yeah, it really is great.
I mean, when she says something like that, 73 million teenagers fall off the couch laughing hysterically, because that's where it comes from. I mean, you know, I play Halo.
Yeah, I know, and I didn't know what it meant at the beginning of the year. I didn't know what it meant because.
Right.
I've just maybe a confession I shouldn't make, but I've never dangled my testicles in anyone's mouth.
I'll tell you how I became aware of that as in the sexual way.
Yeah.
All right. I was playing.
Maybe I don't want to know this.
I was playing Halo.
Yeah.
And there is a repetitive action that guys do when they beat you.
Yeah.
And I never understood what it was, and I never understood why they did it, and I didn't give it two thoughts.
Right.
But when Halo 2 came out, I was reading a review of it,
yeah.
And in it, the guy said one of the changes in the game is that if you have somebody who is, and you know, for people who are not into gaming, this doesn't mean anything, or it may even sound gross, but one of the weapons in Halo was a flamethrower.
Yeah.
Okay, and in the original game, if you got flamethrowed, you died, and that was it. But in game 2, when you get flamethrowed, you stay burning for a while.
Interesting.
And if you run up and were to try to do this repetitive act, you too would die. You would get burned.
You'd burn your balls.
Right. So the guy wrote in the article, he said, you know, one of the changes in the game is that teabaggers will have to be careful about who they choose for their victims. And then it hit me that that's what they were talking about.
Wow.
So, and that was about a year, year and a half ago that I first kind of heard it. So when it came up again, I mean, I don't want to say that you know, that I was on the
receiving end,
on the front edge of this. But I remember the first time I heard it, I said, you can't use that term.
That is term that right?
Used. Yeah. I think I might have said it to College Boy. I'm not sure. I said, you can't use that term. It's already been used. And, you know, it went on and on and on, and then all of a sudden it exploded.
Yeah.
Well, this guy writes that he wants people to use different words. And he
tea partiers.
Tea partier or tea party patriots.
Oh, yes.
But.
And now there was just an article on the news. They're developing their own grassroots network, he called it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The Tea Partiers.
Right.
But I think we should continue to call them teabaggers just because it'll piss them off. And you know, people who don't know what they're talking about should listen to our show. Yeah,
I personally will continue to call them teabaggers because I think that reflects exactly what should be done to them. So I have no problem with that at all whatsoever.
And let's face it, this whole return to fiscal sanity only happened when Obama became president, because they were all nutso spend all the money on war. They took the fucking war offline,
right,
off budget. And now that Obama puts the war on budget so we know how much we owe, now all of a sudden they're Tea Party patriots?
Right. That's what they are.
No, yeah, they're teabaggers.
They're teabaggers, and they deserve to be teabagged.
Then they do. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Well, this sort of leads us right into the end of our podcast tonight. I know we got some time, and we're going to talk about a few other things, but this whole issue of humor,
yes,
and what is inappropriate or what is going over the edge of what's politically correct, let's put it that way.
Right.
Has kind of come to the forefront recently because of teabaggers, and also now because of Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods has had some problems.
You know, as I said to you before we went on the air, you can't hit a four iron without running into a Tiger Woods joke.
And we have a few of them, and we're going to do an inappropriate humor show, so prepare yourselves and your children for it. But
we want to talk about what kind of impact, Well, first of all, I want to talk about why that humor is important.
Right.
You know, but secondly, I want to talk about its kind of impact and whether or not the impact that it has is always good.
So you want to get cerebral about it?
Well, a little bit. I mean,
I think actually that's a good idea. I'm always in favor of looking at things intelligently.
Well, College Boy said, how can you go wrong with a good dead baby joke?
Yikes.
That's where he started. And,
yeah.
And Manhattan Man, basically, he lives the politically incorrect joke.
Yes, he does.
You know?
He told me two of them about Tiger Woods before he hung up. We weren't able to get Manhattan Man on this episode.
Well, but would you like to share them with me?
You know what? I forgot one right away, but I will tell you the other one. The second one was, what's the difference between Tiger Woods and Santa Claus?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Santa stops at three hoes.
Oh, man. There you go. PC humor at its finest.
And that's it.
It really, really is. So I think that...
I got one more, as long as I'm rolling.
Sure.
What's the difference between an Escalade and a golf ball?
Oh, I've heard this one. You can drive a golf ball 300 yards without hitting a tree or something like that?
Tiger Woods can drive a golf ball more than 300 yards, yeah.
Without hitting a tree. Yeah, oh, yeah, no, the, you know, basically we're talking about sophomoric humor.
Yes, and who could be more sophomoric than, well, at least myself. I won't throw you in that category.
No, I can be pretty sophomoric. I laugh at all the, you know.
All the inappropriate.
Go through the list. I love the dead baby jokes. I love the Helen Keller jokes. I love the Tiger Woods jokes.
I'm kind of
love the teabagger jokes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm going to have to see if I can scuff up another couple of teabagger jokes.
But let's kind of end the show on a more politically correct note and talk a little bit about Tiger Woods in general without making fun of it.
All right. Can I, as a just a quick break, I got one little more oxymoron to throw in here.
Okay, sure.
I was listening to the news, and there was a baby born on a plane the other day.
Ooh, okay.
And the doctor said...
Mile High Club. The kids in the Mile High Club.
Yeah. Speaking of inappropriate, I don't think I'm going to follow that one up. But anyway, the doctor said the baby is very normal.
Ooh, yeah, okay. I can see that's a problem.
Can you be very normal?
Well, you can be normal. Or you can be abnormal.
Right.
But I don't, you know, very. No, I think that's way over
the
line.
That's like being a little bit normal.
Or how about being somewhat pregnant?
Right. Partially pregnant, oxymoron.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. It's one of those ones that I think people say because they've run out of things to say.
Yes, that's...
You know, he's probably said the baby's normal 27 times already, and this is the 28th interview. And he says the baby is very normal.
Yeah.
You know? There you
well,
are.
And that's – I don't know if you know, but I've been on a crusade against the word very for a long time. It's such an overly used modifier
right.
that people start describing things with the word very before they figure out what the next word is they're going to say.
Right.
It's just normal. A filler. You might as well say
Very normal.
Yeah, very normal. But anyway, so there's Tiger. He's worth $1 billion.
Right. Well, he's only worth about half of that now.
Well, that was another one of those jokes. Yeah.
Right.
Do you think it's going to impact his earning potential?
I think it already is. You know, I think that companies are going to bow to the pressure. And you know, and I'm not here to say they should or they shouldn't. It's their money, and they do with it as they want. And if they feel that his reputation or his integrity affects their product in some way, then they certainly have the right to withdraw or pull their funds. So, yeah, I guess. I think it's going to negatively impact.
Put this in the context of Don Imus.
Right.
It's not the same thing.
But it is somewhat similar.
That's what I think, too.
And, you know, I would be willing, without even knowing, I would be willing to say that I bet you that donations to his ranch are down since the incident.
Sure.
And he went from being on WFAN
and
MSNBC. MSNBC on TV, no, what is it, the Fox Financial Channel, which I understand has about 9 viewers.
Yes, and 3 of them have high school diplomas.
Right. So, I mean, you know... To me, that's all the indication in the world that you need to know that that's a real problem. you know, my thoughts about it were that my first reaction was I didn't believe that it was, you know, that
true.
Well, I didn't believe that all this stuff coming out was going to be true until it all started coming out. And then the more and more you see it, the more and more you realize it has to be.
Well, and I hear a lot of rumors now, and you and I have no way to know whether it's one woman or, what, 40 or however many it is.
However many it's got up to. It's like a bingo counter.
Yeah.
I mean, every day it seems like you hear ding, 27, ding, 28, ding, 29. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's true. When I saw that his wife had smashed in both rear windows on the Escalade, I was thinking,
Something's wrong. Yeah,
you don't need to rescue him out of both sides of the car.
No, one side or the other would have been.
But I really am curious, and I guess it must be not true. If she hit him with the club, I mean, he would have a wound on the back of his head, right?
Well, it depends on when she hit him with the club. I mean, if she hit him, and he got out of the car, and then she whacked him with it, it could be on his face.
I suppose. They did say he was groggy and had...
And laying on the ground in an unconscious state.
Right, and abrasions on his face, so right. You wonder. But
yeah, she might have teed off.
She teed off on him, all right. And you know, I have another thought that I have to put out there because... I'm me. There's a story out, and I've heard it from a number of sources. I suspect it's true. I don't actually know because I'm far from being on Tiger Woods' inner circle, that his wife is renegotiating the prenup to get more money so that she'll stay with him.
Well, I had heard the first part of that. I did not hear the second part about staying with him.
For at least 2 years is I think what I heard.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Well, let me... ask you if you think that puts her in a different light.
Does it put her in a different light? If.
Well, let me put it in an Elliot Spitzer light.
Okay.
If you're staying with a rich man for money, did you just change jobs?
Right. In the glorious timeline of discussion about Tiger Woods, that's one discussion that we could spend hours on, right?
Well, and I've not heard anybody else bring it up. And you know me, I'm not a Tiger Woods fan, never have been. I thought he had plenty of fans of his own. And I was kind of rooting for the wife.
Until then.
But yeah, that makes me think.
Right. You know, well, I guess the question is, does that make you think that she's a gold digger, or does that make you think that she's just trying to make sure that she's protected?
And
I don't know the answer to that.
I heard that her father was a minister in the government in whatever it is country that she's from. She's not likely to be a gold digger.
Right.
Or had not been in the past. And I was shocked to find that she's turning this into a grab for cash.
Yeah, but you know what, Max?
That's what she's doing.
Right. You know what, Max?
What?
$500 million has a way of doing that.
It puts the sparkle in the vampire.
Yeah. I mean, 1 million, 2 million, 5 million, you know, maybe not.
Yeah.
But $500 million, you know, makes you think, wow, what a payday.
You know, to me, give me $2 million to go away and... and I'm okay.
Well, that's because you're not a beautiful blonde from Norway. You know, I mean, that's and that leads me into another discussion about another issue about this.
Yeah.
And this is the one I just don't ever get. I don't understand it with somebody like Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it with somebody like Tiger Woods. And right. I don't understand it with a lot of these
Elliot Spitzer
marriages. You know, here you are married to, in Tiger Woods' case, this absolutely gorgeous blonde.
Right.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know?
Babe O'Rama.
Right. And
with
he
brains and substance.
And he's cheating it with...
Bimbos?
Well, some of them were. Some of them maybe aren't, so I'm not going to disparage the group in general. But some of them were.
It's a group.
Well, yeah, well, you know.
You know, they need a committee.
3 to 7 is a posse, and more than 7 is a group. You know? So I just don't understand that.
Well, one thing that struck me was they all seem to have the same look about them.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
They have this very
And I have a politically incorrect comment that I will make. I want you to remind me in our politically incorrect joke show. Because this is, I have a thing that's not a joke, and I'll tell you exactly what, you know, how that plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, so is it a type thing?
I think we're attracted to who we're attracted to.
Is this a David Duchovny, Wade Boggs, sexual
compulsion?
Fetish kind of thing? You know, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I
mean,
those guys
both check themselves into clinics for treating.
Yeah. I think that if I had had David Duchovny's looks or Tiger Woods' money, and I could very well have been in the same clinic. You know, I think that there's something to do with being a human male here, too. I mean, let's not put ourselves too high in the
No, I'm not. I'm just wondering if that's, you know, is that what we're talking about?
Well, Dr. Drew thinks there's such a thing as sexual addiction.
Right.
I'm kind of thinking like, duh. So maybe there's something to it more than that.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a difference between being married to a gorgeous woman and wanting to have sex all the time and being married to a gorgeous woman and wanting to have sex with other women all the time. It just doesn't make sense.
It does, though. It's basic human biology. A lot of anthropologists and psychologists will tell you that there's a male built-in desire to spread his seed.
You think
that's a bunch of crap?
It's not that I think it's a bunch of crap. Is that I think that could be used as an excuse
of
to spread
it
your seed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I don't know. These are deep questions, and I'm a very small man, so.
Be careful how you use that phrase.
Well, all right.
When we're talking about Tiger Woods and the driver, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, I think perhaps on that note.
We better save the rest of our inappropriate comments for our inappropriate humor show.
Comment show, yeah.
Coming up in episode 117.
Absolutely.
You think this was disgusting? Wait till next time.
Wait. We'll show you disgusting.
That's right.
So until we meet with College Boy and Manhattan Man, you
have Harry
LaVegas.
Yeah.
Here we go. Adios.
Bye.
Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and